You got to just give them time to iron it out. You know, it's just right now, and it sure feels like that they're all struggling. And more than anything else, I think it'll help us to get into the swing of the season where the off days aren't, you know, 2 days off, you know, two games and then a day off and then a game and or two games and a day off. You know, we got those 19 games coming. Hopefully we can get into a sense of rhythm, you know, and get guys settled down and get guys settled in.
Ned Yost, as the Royals bullpen struggling early in the season and here to talk about the Royals, is the voice of the Kansas City Royals, Ryan Lefever. Ryan, how you doing, man?
Good morning, Wade.
I understand that you have a day off. You're celebrating in nice and balmy Detroit, Michigan, correct?
Yes. Specifically Birmingham, Michigan, which is a suburb about 20 minutes away from Detroit. And, yeah, it's about 40 degrees outside, so there's not going to be a lot of running around outside, but that's okay.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you have a decent hotel to stay in, and it can stay warm, and you can catch up on things, and it's early. It's only six games. The Royals won their first two. They've lost their last four. And I think the biggest question, and I'm sure Ned's probably already kind of tired of talking about it, and that is the bullpen issues. Yesterday, Kyle Zimmer had problems with the strike zone. Before that, it's kind of been contagious. It's been a bit of a disease that spread. And we've seen that a few times in past years since the Royals had that dominant bullpen, where it just seems like it just spreads throughout the whole bullpen, but then eventually they kind of figure it out.
Yeah. Well, we were spoiled for 3 or 4 years in having the best bullpen, not only in baseball, but a couple of those years, I think, in the history of baseball. So we're accustomed to taking a lead into the, you know, seventh or eighth inning and the game is over. But now there are different pieces, and last year, guys that just weren't getting the job done, and veteran guys who, you know, eventually were not on the team when the season was over. And then in the second half, the Royals turned it over somewhat to some guys that were in the system, younger, and they had a lot more success in the bullpen in the second half. I guess the exception would be Willie Peralta, who actually started last year in the minor leagues and ended up being the Royals closer. So now we've got another group of guys who've been around, older, have had success in the past, and I think the group that they have now is better than the group they had last year. The results are about the same, but I think they're going to fix what's wrong with them sooner than they did last year.
The closer situation, help me understand that, because Peralta did a really nice job when he became the closer for the Royals last year, but it seems like it's been more of a closer by committee situation. What was the thinking behind that? Because I think a lot of folks, and it's crossed my mind, if Peralta did such a good job last year, why isn't he just automatically the closer this year until he loses the job?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, he was 14 out of 14 in save opportunities. But honestly, I mean, he wasn't Greg Holland or Wade Davis. I mean, a lot of those were nail-biting innings. And he presents an interesting conundrum for the Royals in that he did get the job done. So that's first and foremost, most important. He pitches better when he pitches more regularly. I think we learned last year, is, you know, that was his first full season pitching out of the bullpen, that, you know, always wonder how a starter's arm is going to bounce back when they go from 4 days in between appearances to, you know, back-to-back days or 3 days in a row or three times in 4 days. And I think the Royals realize that, you know, he's better when he pitches more often. The problem is oftentimes it would take him 25 or 30 pitches to get a save. Mm-hmm. And so while he was better pitching more frequently, they couldn't because a lot of those innings just took so long. So he wasn't, I mean, in theory, he was available, but not really because of all the pitches. And so I think what Ned Yost wants this year is someone who is going to take the job and run with it, but they have to throw strikes. And that's been the biggest issue this year. I mean, last year there were issues throwing strikes, but guys were just getting hit hard. And so, you know, walks and hit batters have just really hurt this bullpen. And so I think, the early opportunities going to Ian Kennedy, because while he has, you know, virtually no experience in this role, Ned was most confident that he's going to be the guy that's going to come in and throw strikes. And so they just went in with an open mind. I think You know, they know what they've got in Peralta, but they want to see what they have in other guys. But the guy who gets this job is going to be the one that throws strikes. You know, it can't be someone who's coming in and walking the leadoff guy or hitting the leadoff guy or walking the first two guys. That's going to put you at the back of the line.
It's funny. Yesterday on the show, I have this streak now where I think I'm cursing everyone that I talk about. Not I'm sure it's not radio people, Ryan, but yesterday morning we were talking about the bullpen, and I said this was just my feeling. I was like, you know, I don't think I'm looking more long term, and I know that the team's wanting to win every game that they're out there and playing. And for me, I would rather see Kyle Zimmer work his way through something, and if it takes him, you know, if it takes him a little while to adjust, or a Barlow or McCarthy or whatever, instead of some of the guys they picked up in the offseason, like a Boxberger, or, you know, Kennedy's probably not going to be a part of this team in a few years, so forth and so on. So I said that yesterday, bringing up Kyle Zimmer. I'm like, I want to see Kyle Zimmer in a tight ball game, high leverage situation, and then boom, he comes in yesterday, and I jinxed him, and he walks three straight guys, and he doesn't get an out, and then he comes out of the ball game. But what about that thinking, though, is that, yeah, I don't think anybody thinks the Royals probably legitimately are going to win this division or make the playoffs, although who knows, it might happen. But what about that thinking that, hey, we got a mix of some veterans and we have some young guys, and maybe there's some guys in the minors aren't quite ready, and that's maybe why they have some of the veterans in those bullpen positions. But the thinking that, hey, when is the time to let some of these younger or more inexperienced guys that may be part of the future down the line have that opportunity? When's it time to let them have that chance in a high leverage situation? You know, why was it yesterday for Kyle Zimmer instead of the day before?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think some teams may subscribe to that theory, and I think the Royals are unique in that they don't want to develop guys at the major league level. Mm-hmm. I think they want guys to get to the major league level, and while there's a pretty good gap between AAA and the big leagues, at least they've proven that they can do it in the minor leagues. Now, we have to remember about Kyle Zimmer, he hasn't even done it in the minor leagues.
True.
He's been hurt. So now he's at the highest level where he's never pitched before, and now you're putting him in a high leverage situation. And I think, you know, he proved yesterday that while it might have been just a bad day, that maybe he's not ready for that yet. Mm-hmm. So now the decision is, do you want to roll the dice and hope that you're running back out there again and he fixes it and then he goes on a great run? Or are you running back out there and close to the same thing happens again, and now you're not just worried about his arm, but you're worried about his mind and his mentality? And so I think if the Royals had right now young guys that were ready to step into that role, that they would be here and they'd be doing that.
Yeah.
But there's still guys that are developing in AAA and in AA, and therefore you go out and you get veterans who, in theory, may not be what they once were, but they should have the mentality to handle the situation, to come out and throw strikes, and if they get hit, they get hit. But you don't have to worry about them, melting under the big lights. And, I mean, this sounds insensitive, but, you know, if they do, well, they're not part of the long-term plan anyway.
Right.
I mean, they're just here to help the Royals get some wins and continue the development process. I mean, this is a regime, Dayton Moore's regime, feels, you know, very strongly that every level is important. And there are many guys who repeat levels. And when they have that level, I think mastered is too strong of a word, but when there's nothing more that they can accomplish at that level, then it's time to go to the next level. And so, I was someone, too, that's excited about Kyle Zimmer because I love his story. He's a good guy, and I hope that someday he develops into that type of player. But, I mean, he hasn't even done it in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
So, but it's sort of a thought. I go back to, you know, your first question and my response. I do believe that there is more talent out there. Peralta, Diekman, Boxberger, as far as the veterans go, I think there's more talent out there than there was with Blaine Boyer and Brandon Auer and Justin Grimm. I mean, I just think there's more of an ability to get guys out, and there's a longer track record of getting guys out in that role. It just turns out right now they're not throwing strikes, and they're with new teams, and they're trying to save their careers because you've got guys, you know, that are getting to the tail end of their career, and their motivation and the team's motivation may not be the exact same thing. But I do believe there's more of an ability there to get people out compared to last year.
The voice of the Royals, Ryan LaFever, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. One last thing on the pitching before we get to some of the excitement on this team, certainly with Mondesi and Witt and others. The rotation. You know, Lopez, I really like Lopez. He certainly showed some things last year. Kind of probably an average performance, maybe his first time out this year. Keller's looked really pretty solid. Great opening day. Junis battled through yesterday and kept him in the game. What's the update, or what's the situation with Danny Duffy? When can we expect to see him back in the rotation? And the Royals rotation as a whole, what do you think of it at this point in time and what it could be?
Well, he's throwing. Duffy is. But I haven't heard any word about exactly when he's going to return. And when he does, you know, what his role will be. And, going back to the bullpen discussion, the best he's ever been, the most dominant he's ever been, is when he was pitching out of the bullpen. And the Royals need help there. So I'm curious to see what his final role will be. I think the rotation's going to be solid. I really do. I think Brad Keller is for real. I don't think he's doing it with smoke and mirrors. I mean, he's just a good pitcher with a great mentality and a really easy guy to pull for. I mean, he is one of the nicest, sweetest kids you're ever going to be around. I think Jacob Junis is going to be a solid major league pitcher at worst. And, I mean, he's got the pitching arsenal to get anybody out. And if he gets his changeup back this year and becomes a legitimate three-pitch pitcher, I mean, the Royals are really going to have something special. Jorge Lopez it was interesting. We saw him pitch in the end of the Chicago series. A couple days later, we see Jose Berríos pitch for the Twins, and we got to see Berríos when he first came up. And great movement, but just erratic and not consistent in the strike zone. I mean, you could see the quality of his pitches were top-notch. And I see the same thing with Lopez. I mean, Lopez reminds me a lot of Jose Berríos when he first came up. And I think Berríos' ERA that first year was like 8 or something like that. I mean, he just could not consistently put the ball in the strike zone. But when he did, I mean, he's an all-star now. And I think Lopez has that kind of ability. Whether he's able to get there or not, you know, we'll find out. But he has that kind of ability. So I think the rotation is solid. I really do. And if, you know, Danny Duffy can get back, that's a plus, obviously, to give him, you know, a lefty with some experience. I really like Heath Philmyer a lot. And he didn't have a great spring, but Royals like him. They like his toughness. And he's at AAA right now, and I think he's a candidate to join the rotation. And Homer Bailey in spring training and even in his start against the Twins a couple of days ago. I mean, he looks the part. He's a big, strong guy. He's got all the pitches. And that could be a really nice find for the Royals, especially what they're paying him. I mean, they're paying him the major league minimum. And this is a guy who's thrown a couple of no-hitters. And I think a change of scenery is really going to help him because, you know, he had a big contract and then he immediately got hurt and never really lived up to the contract and played in a terrible ballpark for pitchers. And so not only does, you know, is he in a different ballpark now, but the pressure of the contract is off of him, and he can just kind of go back to pitching and not be, you know. Some guys are competing than more than one thing. You know, you're supposed to be competing with the batters, but sometimes guys are competing with the expectations of a contract or, you know, a guy threw a couple of no-hitters. He doesn't have that in Kansas City. So they really want to see 30 starts from him this year. They don't believe that he's just a guy to keep the spot warm for somebody else. I mean, they see him as someone who's going to be with them all season. And I'm really, really eager to see what his season's going to be like.
Two guys that certainly seem to be the stars of the team. And right now, I don't know if there's a player that's more exciting in Major League Baseball than Mondesi. I mean, he's just fun to watch. And then, of course, Witt has the 26-game hitting streak, and I just love the story of Witt. You know, never the perseverance paying off. He was rewarded in the offseason with the contract. And I know he's 30 and he's a little older than some people may think, but at the same time, he can move around. He's so versatile. He doesn't complain. And some guys may go, I got to know where I'm at every single day. And they move in right field, second base. And, of course, he's done a great job at the top of the order. I mean, just those two guys by themselves, isn't that worth the price of admission to go to the K?
Yeah, I mean, I said at the end of the season last year when, you know, Patrick Mahomes was playing well. We didn't have any idea he was going to be the MVP, but he was just playing really well. And I remember thinking to myself, and I think I even said it on the air, you know, are the two most dynamic players in their leagues both at the Truman Sports Complex?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the Royals were not a story because, you know, they were so far out of it, and it was September, and people have naturally moved on to football, or they're only paying attention to the pennant races, which the Royals were not in. But Mondesi was just doing things that were incredible. And I've shared this on the air that, you know, most broadcasters from other teams, they follow the Royals from a distance, and they know the names. And when they would come to Kansas City, or we'd go to their city, they'd say, now tell me more about this Mondesi guy. And I would tell them, you know, he's going to do something. He will do something this series, and you will say, wow, that was incredible. And by the end of the year, I was telling announcers when they'd ask about him, he will do something tonight. He might do two things tonight, and you are going to say, wow. I mean, that's how quickly he developed, how quickly he began to realize how he could impact a game offensively and defensively, and thankfully it's carried over to this year. But, yeah, I mean, he is – you know, there are players like Mike Trout and Francisco Lindor, Bryce Harper, who are more polished and accomplished than he is. But all things being equal, you know, if all those guys went to Japan and they just had an open tryout,
mm-hmm.
and there wasn't a game, you just watch them take batting practice and throw, run the bases, and play defense. I mean, I don't know, if Mondesi might be the first guy you'd take,
mm-hmm.
just because he does so many things at an elite level. So, yeah, I mean, every day, you know, what's he going to do today?
He's fun to watch, absolutely fun to watch. And when there's one in the gap, man, he can absolutely fly. The inside of the park of the other night was fun to watch. What would be considered a good season for the Royals? And I say that with a little bit of hesitation, because I think we all get caught up in, well, a good season for the Royals would be, hey, they get the 500. That would be a really good season for the Royals. But to me, it's more about how they would get there. If they're 500, but there aren't a lot of the younger guys developing, I don't know if that's really a good season long term for the Royals. But if they are 500, or even if they're 71-91, and you're seeing that development with these players or guys that, as you said, develop a Triple A that now are ready second half of the season at the major league level, maybe 71-91 would be a better season with them playing a role in it than 81-81. And you've got a lot of veterans doing some of the work. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. You know, this is a boring answer to your question. I apologize. But I just go back to what happened with the guys who were called up in 11 and then played in 12 and, you know, contended in 13 and then, you know, were in the playoffs in 14. And my goal for this team is just a healthy season, mm-hmm. because the Royals need to figure out who can play, and the players need to figure out if they can play or not at this level. And I believe, I don't have it in front of me, maybe you can look it up, but the group that won the World Series came up in 11 at different times of the year.
Mm-hmm.
In 12, I think they were 72-90. I think they lost 90 games. So they didn't contend with the 500 mark at all. I mean, they never were in contention. But for the most part, they were healthy, and they got a full season in.
Mm-hmm.
So that in 13, now they go in and they go, I can play at this level, and I can play every day. And I think it was like game 158 or something when the Royals were eliminated from postseason. And so as I'm looking at just the progression, last year a lot of these guys got up for the first time, so they get to the big leagues. The league doesn't know them, and so they're able to take advantage of the league not knowing them. Then the league makes some adjustments. Are they able to counter-adjust? Now they've got something to think about when they go into the offseason. Now they've got a full season in the big leagues. I think health in a full season is just the most important thing. Now, if they get to 500, great. If they go 71-91, as you said, there's more ways to look at wins and losses right now.
Mm-hmm.
They could go 71-91, and we think, you know what, they did really well. We could finish at 500, and you look at individual performances, and you go, you know, I'm not sure this guy can play yet. I don't know if that question was answered. So, the goal for me is that the young guys are healthy, they're able to play a full season, and spring training next year, we go in there with a strong understanding as to who belongs, where do they need to get better, where do they need to go out and compliment with a veteran player, where do they need, you know, who's the next promotion from the minor leagues. I think it's just the next step. And look at what happened last year. You know, the goal going into last year was that Soler, Bonifacio, and Cuthbert would all get 500 at bats. Right? Yeah. None of them even came close to that.
Right.
So you go into this year, you know, we're still waiting on Soler. We don't know what happens to Soler. To me, I'm most intrigued by him. I think he has a chance to be really, really good. So, but we don't know yet. Bonifacio's in the minor leagues right now. He didn't answer any question about Bonifacio last year. And as it turned out, the Royals signed Mike Moustakas, and that was going to cut into just a couple of, you know, playing time. But he got hurt, and then Hunter Dozier passed him, and now we're trying to figure out Dozier. So, long answer to your short question, but for me, I want to go into next year with a better understanding of who can play and where do we need to get better.
Yeah, and just to go back, 2011, 71-91, 2012, 72-90, but showed progress. And then, as you mentioned, in 13, 86-76, of course, the World Series. In 14, as a wild card, and then 15, of course, won it all. All right, time for the off-the-wall question, Ryan, before we let you go. We appreciate you taking the time on your off day.
Yeah.
April Fool's Day was earlier this week. What's the best April Fool's Day prank you've been involved in, whether you've been the instigator or you've been the victim of an April Fool's prank?
Good question, Wade. Gosh. You know, I can't think of anything personally. And someone's knocking on my door right now. How about that?
April Fool's, your food's ready.
Yeah, exactly. Hang on a second.
No problem.
Hi. Yeah.
Ryan's getting his room service right now.
Remember the Sid Finch story on in Sports Illustrated in 1985? I'm dating myself here.
Okay.
Do you remember that story?
I don't.
Well, anyway, Sports Illustrated had this big spread, and it was the curious story of Sid Finch. And you should look it up because they had like this guy from, I think he was like from Alaska or something like that, and he threw 120 miles an hour. And it was a huge spread, and it was an April Fool's joke. So. I can't think of anything personally for me, but for some reason, let's see, in 85, which was a big year in Kansas City, obviously, but in 85, let's see, I would have been a freshman in high school, I believe, and I've never forgot. Every time April Fool's comes up, I always think of the curious story of Sid Finch, so...
Well,
I can't give you a personal one, but look it up. It's
well,
great
I did pull it up.
April Fool's guy.
Yep. I did pull it up. Sid Finch was raised in an English orphanage, learned yoga in Tibet, could throw a fastball as fast as 168 miles per hour. In 1985, the managing editor of Sports Illustrated noticed the cover date of that year would fall on April 1. He asked George Plimpton to commemorate this with an article on April Fool's Day, Jokes in Sports. Plimpton found himself unable to come up with enough examples to craft an article, so the editor said, "You can create your own hoax," and thus it was born with Sid Finch. I don't remember that. I was 9. How old were you at the time, you said?
When the Royals won the World Series, I was a freshman in high school. So that might have been the spring of my 8th grade.
Okay.
So I was either in 8th or 9th grade.
Okay. I was 9, so that I remember the Royals winning the World Series. I remember the Royals losing the Tigers in 84, but I do not remember the Sid Finch thing in 85. That's interesting stuff. I'm going to have to use that for a trivia question down the line. That's good. I like it. All right, man. Well, we always appreciate the time talking Royals baseball. Hopefully the bullpen figures some things out. And I think, like Ned said the other day, it'll be better if it would help with getting more consistency, a lot of off days early in the year. We appreciate the time. And as always, we enjoy
warm weather.
Yeah, warm weather would be nice, wouldn't it?
Warm weather. Yes.
We enjoy watching on TV, right, listening on the radio. Take care, man. Appreciate it.
You got it, bud.
Ryan LaFever, the voice of the Royals, joining us on the Sports Ticket today.